FPL returns, and it's across two weekends. If you've got the fear of flags, we face it head on. We try to solve the Salah and Son situation, and we also discuss why it might be time to bank on Brighton. Hi everyone, welcome back to the latest FPL pod, where we are preparing for the return of FPL, and it spans over not one, but two weekends. And it does feel like this week there is rather a lot for us to think about. So it's a good job we've got the expertise of Sam Bonfield from FPL Family, the questionable expertise of Julian Laron, and the improving expertise
of
Ian Irving.
You've done this really well.
6 weeks or so ago, Ian, I wouldn't have been so kind.
No.
And Jules just knew I wasn't going to be. Sam, hello.
Sure.
I was nice to you, so let's start with you.
Good morning, Kels.
Morning. It does feel like there's a lot to factor going into game week 21, doesn't it?
It's chaos, isn't it? We've got a game week that lasts 2 weeks. You're only going to get one set of press conferences for the first games before the deadline, so we won't know anything about those final 10 teams. There's flags everywhere because of AFCON and the Asian Cup, and then key injuries that came out of either game week 20 or also out of the FA Cup and the League Cup. My team just looks like a patchwork quilt of flags. It's honestly a nightmare.
Oh, at least you found a positive, a patchwork quilt of it. Mine, when I looked on, I just thought it looked like an absolute disaster. Jules, firstly, thanks for being with us, actually, because you've had a few... Should I say we aren't your priority this week?
Oh, not my prepared. God. You are always my priority. Always.
What did you text us at midnight last night?
No, I'm in Paris for the NBA games. That is happening on Thursday night, which is great. Watch the coverage, by the way, on UK television, and you see me. And the preview show, great preview show I did too. But I forgot the mic in London. So we're having like a bit of a mishmash of recording on the laptop, recording on the phone. I'm sure it'll be great.
Shout out to the technical team and the producer who are going to have a lovely job editing this, thanks to you. But how's your team looking? Have you managed to, in amongst the NBA, have you managed to check your FPL team?
Yeah, and it's not too bad, because the only flag I had, the flags that I knew before, so Senesi is suspended, we knew that, and then Son and Salah, and that's it. And so all my planning for, on a longer term, for the last few weeks, few months, is just paying off, which I'm really happy with, and that's how the game should be played.
Luck.
I was going to say, Sam, we know that's a lie, don't we?
Yeah, 100%. That's just luck, isn't it? Yeah. He's just not got the players that everyone else was
that's
going to.
That's not true. Planning.
Jules,
people
come on.
Planning.
The man who famously tells us every week that he doesn't plan is now trying to claim that he's planning. Interesting. Ian, we were just discussing before, he's shaking his head. Ian's been on this pod long enough now to know what Jules is like.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yes. It's remarkable how he thinks he can lie when we've all got it on record for
true.
Every week. Ian, how's your 11 looking? You're impressive, not just 11, 15 looking.
Not as good as it was, yeah. It's not quite a patchwork quilt, but I've got four flags, which is probably about average, isn't it, to be honest? Obviously, Son and Salah. Now Trent Alexander-Arnold's injured. I don't own Jared Bowen, but I was going to. That scuppered that. Even Charlie Taylor, who might have come in to help me out this week, is flagged.
Yeah, me
so
too.
I'll be like hanging on every word from Vincent Kompany in his press conference. I'm actually going there later, so
find out, Ian.
I'll make sure we get a proper update on Charlie Taylor.
Yeah, just ask the question. First question, fantasy.
Is Charlie Taylor going to play in FPL, please?
Yeah. I promise, Vincent, this is not just about my FPL team, but... So, yeah, I don't know what to do either. We'll talk about transfers, obviously, towards the end of the podcast, but there are so many different ways that you can deal with this situation. It's actually brilliant for FPL because we've got real decisions to make. People will make different choices, and that's what we want. We want a game where, you know, we're against each other and there's lots of different ways to play the game. So I'm pretty excited about the next couple of weeks.
That's the attitude. I'm absolutely petrified.
There is that.
A reminder as well. Yeah,
don't say it out loud.
Well. Yeah, a reminder as well. The deadline for this weekend has changed because Burnley versus Luton has been moved from Monday night to Friday evening. That's because Luton have a cup replay against Bolton. So the deadline was originally 11 a.m. on Saturday the 13th. It is now 6:15 p.m. UK time. That is on Friday the 12th. We're going to start with an off-the-bench style FPL review of the FA Cup weekend because, as we said last week, we maybe shouldn't go too early with our transfers because of what happens. And I think when we look at what did happen last weekend, Sam, we were justified. Firstly, the Jared Bowen news is a real blow, particularly to all of those managers who brought him in for Mo Salah.
Yeah, it is crazy, really, isn't it? You know, a lot of managers did think, I'll go early on Jared Bowen because he's the one that I know that I want. Over 700,000 managers did that early transfer. And that's left them with a problem now, because obviously he gets injured right at the end of the FA Cup. We don't really get firm word from David Moyes either, because they play in the second week. So it's going to be a bit of a challenge for FPL managers to work out what they do now with Bowen. If they have brought him in early, do you hold and hope that it's not as bad as maybe it was first feared? Do you take him back out again? But then that's going to cost you -4 unless you've got 2 free transfers. Bowen was probably going to be the go-to. And the fact that he's now a massive doubt for this game week, if not completely out, is going to mean that there is, like Ian said at the beginning, there's going to be a lot of managers going different to what they were originally planning. I was originally planning to go to Bowen. I'm obviously not going to do that now. But I think if you've done it already, you probably have to look quite heavily at your bench and work out whether it can cope with putting Jared Bowen there or whether you need to make another transfer now.
Yeah, I do feel for managers that made that move early. Ian, if you had brought in Bowen, what would you be doing?
Get rid of him straight away. I just think when you make a mistake...
No love there.
No, I just think...
No, I love a decisive answer on this podcast as well.
When you make a mistake like that, and I've made them myself in the past, I just think it feels so much better to just get rid of it straight away, other than having him sat there, hanging in your team. I mean, the latest report said that he could be out for around a month, which is not as damaging as it would have been in December with them being so spread out the game weeks at the moment. You might end up missing maybe 2 or 3 game weeks. But by that point, Son and Salah are going to be back around the corner. Will you want Bowen then? I don't know. If he's your replacement for Mohamed Salah, are you going to be making a transfer then to take him out and bring Salah back in? So I think I'd just take him straight out and move on and just swallow the -4 as a mistake and get on with your life, basically.
Problem is, Ian, that managers might have to make more than a -4 now, because if they went early on that Bowen transfer thinking, oh, that's one less problem, they're still going to have plenty of flags that have just appeared out of nowhere, like Charlie Taylor in the cup, like Trent Alexander-Arnold. So suddenly you could find yourself back with 3 or 4 flags, even though you've dealt with Salah or Son. So a -4 to change out Bowen is still going to leave you needing a -4 to change somebody else as well. So you could be looking at -8s, -12s.
Yeah, you could. And I think a lot of managers will be taking hits this week. I think it'll be almost the norm for people to be taking hits, to be honest, at least one, because we have got so many issues to deal with. So actually, like Jules, if you manage miraculously to find a way to just negotiate this.
He's got 2 free transfers as well somehow,
haven't you? 2 free transfers, of course. Planning, it's all about planning.
Amazing.
Outrageous.
So if you can do that, you know, I think you're at an advantage straight away. I just view it in isolation. I think you're right, Sam, there will be multiple hits, and the more hits you take, the less likely they are to pay off. But I just think bringing Bowen in early has proved to be a mistake. And just the way I see it in my head and the psychology of playing it, I just think, oh, I'll just get rid of him and just take the -4 on the chin and move on, like I say.
It can be horrible, can't it, when you know you've made a mistake and every time you log on to the website or the app, you see that player there. It kind of reminds you of it. You almost want to just move on, don't you?
It just starts affecting the next game week and then the one after that as well. And you're like, why didn't I not just take the hit in the first instance? So, yeah, it's just one of the things I've done in the past, basically. It's like my Haaland thing earlier on in the season, if people remember.
We do.
You know, when I took him out and it was a mistake, you know, I'm sat there every week thinking, well, I just bring him back in and just get on with it. Then it would have been much more than a -4. So in that sense, I didn't do it. If you're looking at keeping Bowen long-term, perhaps you do keep hold of him. Perhaps that is the difference. You know, if this is a plan to own him potentially for the rest of the season, then, you know, swallow the injury rather than swallowing the hit. But if it is just about covering Son and Salah, by the time he's back fit, potentially they'll be back too. So it's not really going to help you.
Guys, I've just rechecked my team. I thought I had 4 flags. I'm actually one of the people that's got 5. Tariq Lamptey being my third sub is really coming back to bite me.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Ouch.
Trent, Salah, Son, Taylor, Lamptey.
Yeah.
I'm clinging on to Charlie Taylor in your update later, Ian, because he's the only one that's not flagged red, flagged yellow at the moment. So I need some good news. So I think I could well be in that club of taking a -8. Moving on to other headlines from the FA Cup. Sorry, Jules, I saw you at Arsenal versus Liverpool.
Yeah.
I'm still wondering, 4 or 5 days on, how Arsenal didn't score from all of the chances that they had, but they didn't again.
Yeah.
Saka blanking. I know it was an FA Cup game, so it doesn't count as a blank. Mm. But are you worried at all about this Arsenal attack and the lack of end product?
A little bit, I think you have to be, although it would be more worrying if they didn't create anything, really, and the game was stale and not creativity, nothing. I love the way they played that first half. And, yeah, of course, in the end, they lost and they didn't score. So we back to square one, really. What we saw against Fulham in a way, what we saw against West Ham at the Emirates too, a bit before. But at least the chances are there and there's at some point they will be efficient again. I think the break for them to go to Dubai to have a winter camp under the sun, all of that is good, is welcomed, because I think they need a bit of a break. I think if you still have a Odegaard or Saka, maybe not Martinelli because we saw him on the bench against Liverpool, I think you hold for now, because they play Crystal Palace next, and I think that break really would be a good thing for them. So I would say give them another chance, at least to see what happens against Crystal Palace first.
And also, Jules, a lot of people don't have any transfers to get rid of Saka, even if they wanted to.
That's true.
Yeah. Sam, I saw you post on social media about Pedro Porro. Finally getting a goal and a clean sheet would have been a bumper haul for you, wouldn't it? And I know that is frustrating that it happened in the FA
Cup. It's quite funny.
No comment. Does that give you hope?
Says the Udogie owner.
Yeah, does that give you hope that maybe now he will do that in the Premier League and you're pleased to own him?
Yeah. I mean, the performance from Spurs on Friday evening was poor, to say the least. But Pedro Porro looked great as always, so attacking. Obviously, that's his first goal of the season. So now, hopefully, that opens the floodgates for some more of those in actual FPL matches. Would be delightful, Pedro, if you're listening, please. Because also, of course, it came with the clean sheet, and that would have equaled 3 bonus points if this was in FPL. So it would have been a monster haul. But yeah, it does. It makes me feel a bit, well, I'm delighted to have him, to be honest. I think the way that Spurs are playing at the moment, he's one of the more attacking players in that team. So we will rely on him from attacking perspective personally. And then obviously that has a good impact on FPL as well. So if you don't have Pedro Porro, he would be one I'd be prioritising. And with flags on people like Trent, I think there'll be a lot of managers that do that swap this week.
What did you make of them? You said there that you thought they were poor on Friday night. We were all waiting to see essentially if there were any other options, but also just how they were going to do without Son.
Yeah, and they were lacking in the attacking positions, that's for sure. I think without Son's creativity and without Madison's creativity, we weren't great in terms of creating chances. I thought we looked better once Kulusevski was in the 10, but obviously Lo Celso picking up an injury in that game is going to have another impact. I expect Werner, now he's come in, to make his first start at the weekend against Manchester United. And I think there were a lot of managers that were kind of owning Richarlison that were a bit worried about the impact that Werner might have. But in reality, I think with the injuries that Spurs have, we'll just see Werner take Son's position for now, and that will leave Richarlison still playing through the middle. So if you're a Richarlison owner at the moment, I don't think that this is a concern. If anything, it should. Werner fits well. His style of play fits well into the Spurs system. So it might actually make us more creative and therefore benefit Richarlison. So if you're a Richarlison owner, it wasn't great against Burnley in the FA Cup. But heading into the game against Manchester United at the weekend with Werner in the side, that probably means Kulu's in the 10 again. We do look better with somebody like Kulu in the 10 when Madison is out. So not panicking on it yet, but it has put me off moving Son to another Spurs midfielder.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, massively.
I agree.
Yeah. If I'm going to go to Spurs now, I'll go to Timo Werner instead.
Really?
Already, despite not seeing him in a Spurs shirt yet.
That is bored.
I won't do it yet, because I don't need to change my forward line. I've got issues with my midfield, but I much prefer him as a potential option over the next few weeks than I do Richarlison or Kulusevski or Brennan Johnson.
Watching the FA Cup and how everything's played out, I've only been more encouraged to get a Tottenham attacker, because I just feel like the options elsewhere have disappeared. So that's going to be a very interesting debate to get into when we do Salah and Son replacements.
Definitely.
Okay, a few more headlines for you then. Dominic Calvert-Lewin and João Gomez were both sent off in their games. Dominic Calvert-Lewin has had his red card revoked, so he will be available for game week 21. But João Gomez is now out for 3 matches. There were 2 goals as well for Alexander Isak. Should he then be back on the FPL radar now? Particularly, Jules, because when we look, their fixture congestion is easing a little bit for Newcastle, albeit the form hasn't been great.
Yeah, although they play City, obviously, this weekend at St. James's Park. So, yeah, it's true. But it's still the City team that has been praising in the last few weeks is looking more and more like the machine that we knew they would become again at some point this season. Mm. So it's a risky one maybe to bring, although City have conceded goals and we've seen that this season. But it looks like everything on their side is just starting to click, really. So I would not be tempted personally to bring any Newcastle attackers, whether that's Isak or, I don't know, Almiron, Gordon, whoever you want, because I think this game, considering Newcastle's form too, despite the win against Sunderland in the FA Cup, which was a really good win. And like you mentioned, Isak scored two, one being a penalty. I just think the City side will really fancy their chances going to St James's Park.
Okay, well, they're the main headlines from the weekend that was a reminder also about the cup replays. Luton, Nottingham Forest, West Ham, Brentford, Wolves, Crystal Palace and Everton will all be playing in the cup again next week. Those fixtures will be played the week commencing, as I said, the 15th of January. That does mean that the break has been shortened for them. Do you think that could affect anything, Ian, when it comes to FPL?
Well, yeah, in terms of them having another game between you making your selections and them actually playing in the game week. So, you know, if you're looking at selecting any of the players from the clubs that you've just said about, there's Forest, West Ham, Brentford, Wolves and Palace who all play the second week in game week 21. So they'll all be in action and have a 90 minutes. And we've seen what the FA Cup's done to our teams this last week as well.
Mm-hmm. It'd be typical, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so perhaps I would think twice a little bit about some of those teams and selecting players from them as well, just because it just adds that additional bit of risk. Sam mentioned before, we won't hear about press conferences for some teams. We won't hear about press conferences for those teams. And we also have to sit through 90 minutes with everything crossed that there's no injuries and no sendings off and no issues that come out of those games too. So this is a challenging week. There's no doubt about it. It's probably the most challenging week we've had this season with the flags and with this split game week over two weekends as well. So bring it on. I am genuinely excited about this. I hope you can tell.
We can. The rest of us, I think, are quite scared. Well, Jules is never scared, but myself and Sam are a bit more apprehensive.
Yeah, definitely.
It's variance. It introduced variance. That's exactly what we want in FPL. We want different people making different decisions and people like myself who are still behind. This gives us a real opportunity to try and catch up on people. All fall further behind, obviously, but focus more on that first part of the sentence if you're behind, I think.
You can tell Man United won in the cup. He's far more positive.
Yeah, he's on fire.
he won't be on Sunday afternoon, though, don't
worry. Oh, yeah, it's you two clubs against each other. Yeah, wow.
Why did I go there? And when comments like that are made, I am so grateful my team were relegated a couple of years ago. Let's dive into some of the flags in a little bit more detail then, because as we said, not only have we got flags because of the players that we knew were going to be away on international duty, we've got suspensions, which we also knew about, and we've also now got to injuries. We've already said, Sam, that it feels like a lot of people are going to be taking hits. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of asking this for myself. I'm going to have to take a minimum -4. Is this week okay to take a -8?
Yeah.
Asking for a friend.
I've probably taken a -8 this week.
Really?
Yeah. I've only got one transfer and I've got flags everywhere.
Bad planning.
It's not bad planning, George. Like, in reality, I brought in Trent Alexander-Arnold last week. If I'd saved that transfer, he comes in, he gets naughty, then gets injured and is out for weeks.
Oh, I forgot it was your fault.
It's my fault. Yeah, I broke Trent.
You're not done with just goalkeepers now, are you?
No. I've got two of them, so can I play both of them rather than some outfield players?
Stick one in defence,
like, yeah. You know, yeah, is that okay? Yeah, I think this week is going to be a week where a lot of FPL managers take hits. And I think if you're looking at a -12, that's also acceptable. If you're looking at a -16, hit the wild card. And I had a moment, I'm still having a moment, where I might hit the wild card button.
Ooh.
The thing that puts me off massively, and this is a very personal thing, and this is why wild cards are personal to your team, is that the deadline moved to Friday in the middle of my son's birthday party. So
you can't
wildcard,
Sam.
I cannot.
Genuinely, that would stop
honestly,
me.
I can't wildcard with 16 10-year-old boys in my house or in a tent in my garden, as they're going to be. So I just, it's put me off massively. So that means I'm looking at least probably a -8. Maybe a -12, but -12 feels a lot. So if you're in that kind of -12, -16 territory, then do think about the wild card. The wild card, ideally, you would hold for later, but you don't have to hold it for later. And if your team is looking, you know, like it's in the mud, you've got Salah, you've got Son, you've got Hwang, you've got Senesi who's suspended, you've got Trent. Like, if you're looking at that when you open the app and you've got 6-7 flags, the wild card might actually be the right thing to do, because whilst it might be really useful later, you risk taking so many hits to get a team for this week that over the coming weeks, you're then trying to repair it. And that feels like the wrong thing to do as well. So sometimes it's just better to rip the band-aid off, fix the problems you've got, and then allow yourself to move forward with it.
Flip that. Is it okay to not have a full 11 this week?
Yeah. I think there'll be plenty of managers that have 10 this week, it basically feels like a blank game week without being a blank game week, because you never know what's going to happen. You know, there were some links in the news the other night about a player potentially moving from one of the clubs that plays in week two to one of the clubs that plays in week one. If that happens, they don't feature in FPL because, of course, they've moved and missed both games.
Sam, what would happen if it was the other way around? Would you actually get them playing twice in this game week?
Yeah, you would. If they played twice, yeah, if they moved from...
Plan your transfers wisely, guys.
You would. You'd benefit if it went that way. But if it went the other way, you obviously just miss the game week. So there's a lot of opportunity. And like Ian said before, the FA Cup could rule people in or out again when we have replays. There's so much that can happen before the 10 teams that play in the second week play that you can't guarantee you're going to get 11 anyway, unless you've got three, four on your bench and you're happy. So if you're going into it and you've got, like you have, Kel, if you make two transfers and you've still got three flags on the bench, and there's a risk that somebody else therefore doesn't start, I think there will be a lot of FPL managers that are in the same position as you. So you can kind of use it in whichever way you want. Hit the wild card if you want to, take the minus hits if you want to, or just decide I'm going to risk it and maybe I have 10. But if I haven't taken a hit, the players that people have hit it in have to do more than a minus four in order for that to be better for them mathematically.
Okay, well, some of the players that are flagged in the game then, Gabriel Jesus, Alexander Zinchenko, Marcus Senesi, as Jules mentioned, Charlie Taylor, already mentioned him, Trent Alexander-Arnold, already mentioned him, Joe Linton, Ben Davies, Lo Celso, Jared Bowen, definitely already mentioned him, Jules' boy Lucas Paqueta, and Mavropanos. Oh, no, and I've missed one. That's how many there are. I needed to scroll down. Joao Gomez as well. So lots of players and some of those big FPL players. A word on Trent Alexander-Arnold, mm-hmm. Ian. Straight out, given the amount you've spent on him?
No, I don't think I would take him straight out. The reason being, I don't feel like there has been enough information just yet. By the way, if you need the money, fair enough. You know, this is a very personal decision. I've also owned him for a long time. I've had him since game week 10. So there's a bit of value wrapped up in him. I'm going to want him back the way he's been playing too. So the press conference the other day, Pep Linders was doing it, the assistant manager, and I think the quote in the end was that he was going to be missing for 3 weeks. Well, yeah, if that is accurate, he misses one game. Mm-hmm. So he's ruled out of the Bournemouth game and that's it. He's back in time for Chelsea. But before that Chelsea game in the Premier League, I need information. That's what I'm after. So if I can play one of my... you know, my 4-4-5 defender to cover Trent Alexander-Arnold, that's what I'm going to do, because we'll have Klopp before Bournemouth, we'll have Pep Linders again before Fulham, which is the second leg of the League Cup semi-final, and we'll have Klopp again before their FA Cup tie in the fourth round, and then before the Chelsea game in game week 22, all potentially giving updates on where Trent Alexander-Arnold is up to. So I think in my head, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to bench him, and then I'll wait with all that extra information before the next game week to find out exactly what the situation is with him. If he's ruled out longer term, obviously that changes things. If the original prognosis is right, then he'll be back in time for game week 22. And I also read a report last night that he's cancelled this holiday. He's not going away on this warm weather break that Liverpool are looking at doing. He is going to be at the training ground every single day doing rehab to try and get back as soon as possible. So for me, I'm just going to bench him, I think.
I saw him getting injured on that knee, Kelly, at the game on Sunday. He finished the game because I think it happened in 75th or something like that. So if he couldn't have been, I mean, I don't know, but what it looked like from the ground, that if he finished the game, and he did obviously an impact as well the game quite well towards the end, it can't have been, even if his whole body was warm and he could finish the game like that, it can't have been that serious, as in we're not talking 6 months or 8 months, because he finished the game. Otherwise, he would have come off straight away. So I agree with Ian. I think if you have him, just wait a little bit more, if you can, of course, if you can, because he might actually, okay, been out for this game, and but after that, it might be okay to come back, actually.
I interviewed him post-match. Rude of him not to tell me or give me some warning that...
I saw him with Aaron Ramsdale and Aaron Ramsdale's baby in the tunnel, and he looked really okay. Like, he was not limping. He was not grimacing because of the injury. Of course, they won, so he was happy. But yeah, so I would think that it's not too serious, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully not. Okay, let's move on to the big one then. The headache, well, the headache that we hoped will be our only headache. It's just proven to be one of many. The Son and Salah replacements. I really hope, if you're listening to this, you weren't one of the ones that went early for Jared Bowen. If you were, still listen on because you need to do something about it. The Asian Cup does start on Friday. AFCON kicks off on Saturday. We said we were going to revisit this after the FA Cup fixtures. Are we any nearer to deciding what we're going to do? Everyone looks a bit pensive. Who am I going to go to first here? Come on, Jules, you seem to be quite confident today.
Yeah, because I think Phil Foden is still a very good option. We mentioned Kevin De Bruyne has come back. That's another good news if you're a City fan or De Bruyne owner. And he played 30 minutes against Huddersfield, did really well, won the armband. But we also know that he's not going to start the next game, for example, against Newcastle, because Pepper said already that we were going to be very cautious with him. We can't rush him back. The injury was so bad. I think KDB himself has said that he just needs to manage it all. You can't take any risk. I don't think he even wants to take any risk himself. So the whole rotation issues, maybe with KDB, who could he take the place from? I don't think will happen now. So I think Foden is still a very good option to replace either Salah or Son.
Do you agree? And I'm very wary of City now with Kevin De Bruyne coming back as well.
Yeah, it introduces a bit of an unknown, doesn't it? Because already it's become quite a big talking point with Guardiola's press conferences. What happens when KDB's available and Phil Foden is playing like he's playing at the moment? How do you get those two both into the same sort of position? And how does that affect City? There's Erling Haaland to add to the mix as well. Now Jeremy Doku's back too. So that introduces another dynamic to our thinking. This is the problem at the moment. So last week we were talking about scouting the FA Cup and seeing exactly what happened with teams like Liverpool and Tottenham who were losing players. It's also introduced this dynamic with City where there's extra players available. There's Pep Roulette coming more into contention, which hasn't been as much of a factor perhaps this season as past years. There's Jared Bowen picking up flags. There's Arsenal's attack still not clicking. And no matter which way you look, it doesn't seem that the replacements for Son and Salah that were there before have got any more appealing, really. That includes Phil Foden, who I think is still just about as good as it gets. His form has been so good. Surely Guardiola has to find a place for him in his team in that central role. You know, I understand that Kevin De Bruyne will come back in. He'll get minutes. But like Jules said, I don't think he's going to go straight into the starting lineup for Newcastle. And then the next two game weeks are pretty packed in, along with the FA Cup fourth round as well, which City have drawn Tottenham. So they're going to have to name a fairly strong team there too. So, you know, that whole sort of dynamic around those two game weeks as well puts a big question mark on how many minutes De Bruyne will be able to play. So we've got a real issue here. And that's what intrigued me about Sam's statement before when she said that she doesn't want a Spurs attacker. Who do you want then, Sam?
I think I'm going to go Pascal Gross.
Oh,
so there you go with a bit of rogueness from me on a Thursday morning. I honestly watched Spurs on Friday evening with a view that the obvious thing to do was to go from one Spurs midfielder to another one. But with my long-term planning hat on, which I know Jules doesn't have one of those, but when I've got my long-term planning hat on, I know that in a couple of weeks' time, because Madison's back in training next week, that I want him back as my Spurs midfielder. And I don't really trust the others to be consistently returning. So Richarlison's the most in form, but I don't love it as a pick. He's not hauling. Spurs don't look like hauling either when it comes to, you know, the games that we're playing at the moment over the coming weeks. And I don't know. I don't feel confident picking any of the other three. Brennan Johnson, Kulusevski, you never really know what positions they're going to be playing at the moment. There's so many injuries in that Spurs team. We will have Mickey van der Ven and Christian Romero back for the weekend, apparently, which will be very nice. And that will allow a bit more solidity in the defence, which maybe makes Pedro Porro an even better option. But of the midfielders, it feels like a difficult one. So when I look longer term, and I know that we'll talk about Brighton later, so I won't go into too much detail on him now, but Pascal Gross for me is the one that stands out. He's got the best fixtures over the coming weeks. He's the one that is most regularly looking like returning to at Brighton. So I'm probably going to go there instead. It saves a load of money, which enables me to get to Haaland, which also feels like a really important place to be if Pep says that the Norwegian is fit and available for the Newcastle game at the weekend.
Yeah, I remember thinking I was saving transfers for Haaland. I wasn't. Yeah. I was saving transfers to deal with an injury crisis. I didn't know it was coming. Ian, if you're not keen or not sure about City and you're surprised by Brighton, where are you looking at going with your Salah and Son replacements?
Richarlison, which is obviously in direct contrast to what Sam just said, just because of the form mainly. And I know that's when he's had Son alongside him, who is, you know, a big creative force as well as a scorer of goals in that Spurs side. But 7 big chances since the start of December. That's the most amongst midfielders in the game. 5 goals in his last 5 games. That Spurs attack still looks good. I know they struggled against Burnley, but I mean, as far as attack goes, they're still pretty strong. And he's outscored Son since he's been in the starting lineup as well, since coming back from injury by 1 point, 41 points to 40. And I don't think any of us would have been considering removing Son if it wasn't for him going away at the Asia Cup, especially with all the other flags that are going around, obviously. So I'm not sure I want Son back either when he gets back from the Asian Cup because of that stat that I've just talked about. I mean, Richarlison's a 2.9 million saving on Son as well. And when we're needing funds to maybe keep Trent Alexander-Arnold once he's back fit, bring Erling Haaland in, you know, obviously have Mohamed Salah back, which will be an absolute priority. I'm wondering whether that's a bit of an opportunity for us. And if I can do Richarlison now, then that means I've got my eye on him sort of longer term. Then again, Maddison comes back. Werner's now added to the mix. Son comes back from the Asian Cup. This is what I mean. No matter which way you look with this situation at the moment, no one really is absolutely standing out. Everyone seems to introduce a new problem. And the last week seems to have brought extra ones too. So, yeah, it's difficult.
I'm just going to throw some other names into the mix. Jules, any temptation at all to maybe look at a different Liverpool attacker, maybe Jota or Diaz?
Yeah, Jota especially is going to be my differential for this week as well because he's only owned by 3.6% because he comes back from injury. I was really impressed by him against Arsenal. I thought he changed the game when he came on. It was maybe not as good against Fulham starting in that kind of number nine or forced number nine position for him on Wednesday night in the League Cup semi-final first leg. But I just think Jota is a wonderful player, especially at low ownership, 7.8 million. So again, if you swap him for Son, you're saving almost 2 million. So I think someone like Jota, if you replace Salah and Son by Jota and Foden, for example, in my case, which is probably what I'm going to do, I think this is you'll be happy with that, hoping that they will still perform. But I think that would be an interesting swap.
Can I introduce another name as well? He was someone who I thought I would get in this period, and it's only because of the way that Arsenal are playing that it's put me off. And they actually are playing well, apart from putting the ball in the net, which is obviously quite important, both in normal football terms and in FPL terms as well. But Martin Ødegaard was who I thought I would be getting, 8.4 million. The thing that attracts me with him, he's very creative. You know, he takes some of the set pieces for Arsenal. And he also has a goal threat. I mean, last season he got 15 goals, 8 assists. He's nowhere near those numbers this year. He's on 4 goals, 4 assists. So you know there's potential there if Arsenal can hit their form again. But like Jules said before, they just look like they've underperformed so much in these recent games. They've had 61 shots, I think the stat was, in the last 3 matches and scored once. Yeah. Missed 10 big chances. So you can cut that two ways. You cut that as, well, they're missing a load of chances, so I don't want any Arsenal attackers. I don't want any more Arsenal attackers if you've already got Bukayo Saka. Or you could look at it and say, well, actually, they're dominating games, they're creating loads of chances, and surely with the quality that's in that side, their luck is going to change, surely. Crystal Palace, Nottingham Forest away, Liverpool at home, West Ham away. The fixtures are not amazing, to be honest. But maybe that's a different direction to look if you wanted to double up on the attack because lots of people will own Saka, so you're not going to get much advantage from him performing well unless you're captaining him. So maybe Ødegaard is a way of doubling up there and pressing home an advantage with Arsenal if they can just provide that last finishing touch to the moves that they've been on in the last few games.
Yeah, Ødegaard and Gross have been the most creative midfielders in the last 6 fixtures. So they've produced 22 key passes each. So they are the ones that are most likely to get the assists at the moment. And obviously that's quite important. And you know with both of them that they're going to be quite stable in terms of their pick. They're always going to appear in the Arsenal and Brighton starting 11s unless they're injured. So at a point where we've got loads of issues, picking security and security that's got the underlying stats to back it up feels like a very wise strategy.
Yeah, definitely. And that's interesting. That shows why you do have to look at the stats as well, because people might be put off by Arsenal at the moment because they aren't winning, they aren't scoring goals, but it does show that there is still some value in some of their players. Okay, moving on then. Sam, I wanted to dive into your suggestion a little bit more because you did mention Pascal Gross. We don't have too long left on the podcast, but Brighton are a team we wanted to mention because actually, when you take a look at the fixture ticker between now and game week 28, they're up there, they're at the top. So is Gross just one of many players that you're looking at? Should we be looking at Roberto De Zerbi's side at this point in the season?
There is a good chance that I double up on Brighton with two transfers this week because I think Trent to Estupiñán is one of the biggest no-brainers that I've seen on paper this season. And I know what Ian's saying about holding him, but I'm at a point where I got no value invested in Trent because I bought him in last week. He blanked, he's got injured. So I don't have that same issue that Ian's got. I don't have any loyalties to him either necessarily right now because of that. So I'm kind of looking at his spot going, well, if I'm looking for routes to Haaland, if I'm looking at, you know, needing budget elsewhere, if I want to hold Salah, which I do, I said that last week, I don't want to have to sell Salah. I want to keep him on the bench, hold the value in him. Then looking at the double up of Brighton makes a lot of sense because one, they're cheaper. I mean, Estupiñán had a price rise overnight, annoyingly. So he's now going to cost you 5 million rather than the 4.9 I was hoping to pay for him. But nonetheless, it's still significantly cheaper than Trent Alexander-Arnold. Despite only playing 8 matches this season, he's got 2 goals and 3 assists. He's Brighton's top scoring defender in fantasy this season, even though he's played far less games than anybody
else. That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's because they've not been keeping any clean sheets. But they did keep a clean sheet in the last game against West Ham. He's also averaging 4.6 points per match, which puts him joint second with Pascal Gross at Brighton for points scored. And it's also third amongst all the defenders in FPL this season. And how many times have we seen Estupiñán? So when he does play, we do see the returns for him. We see the attacking returns. We did get a clean sheet out of him. There will be bonus points if he scores the worldy goals like we saw him score against Spurs. Again, he got one in the FA Cup. Again, like Porro, that would have been another haul. So I'm looking at the two of them thinking they look like really nice options. Gross is Brighton's top scoring FPL player so far this season. He's got 3 goals, 6 assists and 15 bonus points over the course of the season so far. And it is a player that's gone massively under the radar, I think, because we've all been looking at these kind of really attractive picks and the ones that kind of have been shouting out with their double digit hauls. But he dominates the set pieces, which helped him to supply 52 key passes. That's more than any other Brighton player. So I'm looking at him, I'm looking at Estupiñán, and I'm thinking both cheap, both going to start regularly for Brighton. Really, really, really great fixtures at a point where I just need stability across those two positions in my team. So I need some budget for Haaland. I think they're both really nice options.
Yeah, I like both of those. That was very much an Ian style. You know when Ian does his differential?
Yeah, it felt like a bit of a speech, that did.
Yeah, it was.
It was pretty impressive. I think there's going to be a few people transferring in Brighton players. And we are going to have to move on because we've got so much to get through. It feels like this week there shouldn't be as much to get through because the game week spread across 2 weeks. But because of the injuries and stuff, there's actually so much to get into. Differential of the week time. I'd like to congratulate all three of you for once again doing a grand total of 2 points between three of you. That does mean one of you, Ian, picked a player that got 0 points
again.
Yeah. Would you like to
apologize,
say anything back to me there?
I'd just like to refer to a written statement at this stage, which has been drafted by my solicitor. So, dear FPL pod members and loyal listeners, in recent weeks, it's come to light that the differential section of this podcast, where guests select low-owned FPL assets to the audience amazement, has been subject to foul play and subterfuge, and as such, poses a serious threat to our client's reputation. In a previous fantasy podcast released on the 28th of December 2023, it was stated that our client selected Anthony Robinson, defender of Fulham. The points given in the differential section were stated as -2, and much to everyone's hilarity, of course. However, it should be pointed out that Anthony Robinson actually scored a grand total of 2 points for game weeks 18 and 19, and it was in fact Jack Robinson of Sheffield United who scored -2. What's more, our client, immediately after this slander, was asked to select a differential for game week 20 and selected Mohamed Kudus, who subsequently was refused permission by the Ghanaian FA to feature in West Ham's fixture with Brighton. This is undoubtedly a clear and orchestrated attempt to undermine our client and amounts to defamation of character. Our client will be making no further comment at this time.
I love the fact that you think the Ghanaian team are against you, Ian. Yeah. That is brilliant. Yes.
How long did it take you to write that?
No further comment at this time.
Sorry, Ian's solicitor isn't available, so he can't make comment. Okay, so on that note then, would you like to attempt to pick a player that's going to get more than 0 points?
No comment.
You kind of have to. It's part of the podcast. Sorry. I'm trying to get you to do your differential. Come on.
It's been
pretty
bad, hasn't it?
Maybe it's actually better that he doesn't, to be fair.
It's been pretty bad. Right, I'm going to go for it. Ivan Toney is my differential for this coming game week.
No one bring him in then?
No, not if anything just lately is... Although the Robinson thing, you know, we've not really talked about. I won't be talking about it, obviously, but, you know, it was a bit of slander that. Anyway, in terms of Ivan Toney, obviously he's been out for a very long time with his ban. He's done numerous interviews now where it sounds like he's absolutely determined to come back and repay the faith that the fans and the club have shown in him. He also is going to miss Brentford's FA Cup replay as well because his ban doesn't come to an end until the day after that match. So there's no risk involved like there is with some of the other teams who are playing in the second weekend of Game Week 21 and have that FA Cup replay. So he will be back against Nottingham Forest. Visser's gone away to AFCON as well. I think Ivan Toney is straight in that starting lineup. And if I've not, you know, enticed you enough, 20 goals in the Premier League last season. He's 0.6% owned. He's 7.9 million. And he got a hat-trick against Southampton under-23s in his final game, getting back to fitness. I just think that he is going to be absolutely fired up to return and return me to some sort of respectable level in this differential section, hopefully.
Wonderful. Jules.
So I mentioned him already before, but Diogo Jota, I think, only owned by 6% of the manager, 7.8 million, he will cost you. He just returned 6 and 7 points in his last two games after coming back from his injury against Burnley and Newcastle. And even if he doesn't start, even when he comes off the bench, he has a great impact on this Liverpool team. So we know Klopp has a lot of options. So even if you bring Jota and he's on the bench, don't worry, because he will come on and have an impact on the game. And the fixtures for Liverpool going forward are okay, considering the form that they are in, even with the players missing. So I would be quite trusted into Jota.
I like the Jota pick. I'm very, very tempted, that's for sure. Sam, what about you?
I'm going rogue, because why not?
Again.
The differentials are going so badly that
I
might as well.
Can I remind you, you got 1 point last week as well with Jack Grealish?
I know, and then this week I've picked a player that is actually flagged.
You were convinced about Grealish last week. This is the moment. This is it. This is for him.
Jules, your selection last week included also got a point.
Yeah.
We're as bad as each other, all of us.
So mine didn't even play and I was still only a point behind these two. So...
I love that. I'm going for Lyle Foster at Burnley this week, owned by just 0.5% of managers. Going to cost you 4.8 million. So if you do want a budget player, then he could be a decent option. He is flagged in the game at the moment with a foot injury, but he is expected to be okay. So I'm kind of risking it with this one. Obviously, he had time out earlier on in the season for his mental health. But since he's come back, his importance in that Burnley side has definitely kind of been shown. And he's looked really, really good. He's got a goal and an assist in their last three matches. He's also one of the most consistent of the forwards in fantasy. And that's something that we haven't necessarily had over the course of the season so far. He's got an attacking return in 7 of his 11 appearances over the course of the Premier League campaign. So I do like him as an option. He's playing against Luton, who he got 9 points for his goal against back in game week 7. So obviously, Burnley and Luton, these are kind of the games that Burnley really, really need to win. Bottom of the table, struggle matches. So I think he's a decent option. And hopefully he's going to put an end to this red run of differential fails that I've had lately.
Best of luck, guys. The only way is up, surely, but it feels like I've been saying that for a few weeks now, to be honest. Let's move on to captains then. Who is the best option for game week 21? And Ian, you've talked about liking variants in the game. I feel like there could be quite a lot of variants on captaincy this week as well.
Definitely, yeah. Cole Palmer as well, which we've talked about, you know, the potential for him to be our captain in recent weeks. This could be the week where a lot of people stick the armband on him. But I think it's Bukayo Saka for me. I think Palmer's more explosive. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I just trust Arsenal more than I trust Chelsea. I don't think it will be a week where there's like a massive variance on captain either. I can see quite a few of the options returning, but not necessarily delivering monster hauls. But Saka did get one of those against Crystal Palace at home last season. 18 points, 2 goals, 1 assist. maximum bonus. It's his highest ever score in an FPL single game week. His form's not been great, let's be honest, but then I've talked about the stats for Arsenal's attack, and you know, if that does click and that does change, that just last little bit of sticking the ball in the net, then Saka could well be in the point. So I think he's going to be my captain.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go for Saka as well. Jules, are you?
Yeah, I was tempted by Saka. I think my boy Darwin obviously had two assists in the League Cup. I always love him so much. At some point, he's going to do great, I tell you that. His underlying stats are still very good, but I think Saka really, I think, is the outstanding pick.
Sam, what about you?
Yeah, boringly, probably that's where I am as well. If I bring in Foden, maybe Foden. Do kind of also like Alvarez as captain this week for kind of one final hurrah if Haaland isn't available, and it's the if Haaland isn't available thing. Obviously, if Haaland's ruled fit by Pep, which Pep's not going to tell us, is he, if Haaland's going to play or not. But if he does suddenly come out and go, yep, he's fit, I'm starting him at the weekend, then I'll just bring back Haaland and captain him, I think. But Saka feels like the best option. Pedro Porro was on my mind as well against Manchester United, because the Manchester United
slander again.
Loved that selection. Yeah, his face when I said that. He looked
that
at me.
Hurts.
And I have also got an itch to captain Pascal Gross if I bring him in this week as well, because I do think that he could be a really good differential. So there's a good chance I go absolutely rogue this week with my captain's decision, because I just don't think there's a standout. So why not use it as an opportunity to kind of try some stuff out?
Do it.
Come on.
I think I don't need encouragement from you two.
For the sake of the pod, it feels like it might happen.
Sam, I think you should captain Pascal Gross, and Jules, I think you should captain Darwin and see where we are on the other side.
It's Ollie Watkins too against Everton.
Speak to man, him out. Ian, who's desperately trying to catch everyone.
Exactly. I think another thing to consider with these split game weeks, it might be worth having your captain and vice captain on different game weeks.
So 100%.
If you are looking at captaining someone like Saka in the second weekend, I'd stick a vice captain, stick with a vice captain in that first weekend, because you've got maximum information. So you know that, you know, they are, you know, pretty likely to play. So maybe you put it on Palmer if Saka's your captain. That's Palmer's your vice captain. Just be wise to that, I think.
Yeah, very good advice. Let's round things off on transfers then, Sam.
Pascal Gross for Son, that's going to happen. The other one's going to be very much dependent upon what happens in the press conferences. If Haaland's available, I'll find a way to bring him in. It'll be Alvarez to Haaland. If he's not, then Trent to Estupiñán. Either way, that second transfer is a -4. If I really fancy Estupiñán for Trent, then I might just take the -8, get Estupiñán, and also get Haaland up top for Alvarez. So I'm definitely taking a hit. It's just how big is that hit?
Jules, what about you? No hits over there?
No, two free transfers, you know, because of my super
efficient
planning.
I'd like to point out
planning.
At this point, I also have two free transfers.
Amazing.
Your planning has been great, Kelly.
It's not a wondrous move. We're treating Jules like he's like the god of FPL because he's kept
Let's
two
never
transfers.
Do that again.
Who is top of the league again? Oh, yeah, sorry. So Foden for sure.
It was the way you straightened your hair after
honestly,
you said that.
And the rest of us eye rolled.
Just his crown.
Foden for sure. And then for the second transfer, as you know, I should remind you that I've got two free transfers this week. I like the Jota pick, really, but it depends as well of Haaland. If Haaland can come back, if he's fit again, all that kind of stuff. But if Haaland is not, it would probably be Foden and Jota.
Ian.
I could make one transfer, two transfers or three transfers, and I'm completely torn between them. As it stands now, if Erling Haaland isn't back for Newcastle, I think I'll just make one transfer. So I think I'll bring in probably Richarlison or Foden for Son, and then I'll bench Alexander-Arnold and Salah. I'll start Alejandro Garnacho against Pedro Porro, Sam.
About time.
Yeah. And I'll also start either Charlie Taylor or Jared Branthwaite in the place of Trent Alexander-Arnold, and just wait another week to get a bit more information. Like I said so many times, it just doesn't feel like anyone's jumping out. So at the minute, that's probably where I'm at, I think.
God, I wish I was in a position to only have to make one transfer, that's for sure. I think I'm going to be going for three. Fortunately, I have two transfers, so it would just be a -4. Well, that's where we're going to leave it today. A reminder, if you haven't yet joined our FPL Pod Mini League, the code is IB3WLK. That deadline, as I said at the top of the pod, is Friday evening now, ahead of game week 21. That's 6:15 p.m. before Burnley versus Luton. Ian will be back again with the fantasy show on your screens and on the app on Friday, and we'll be back again next Thursday to review what has happened in the first half of the Game Week 21 fixtures. I'm scared already. We'll also talk through what we've learned from the FA Cup replays, as well as the AFCON and Asian Cup tournaments. There is a lot to think about at the moment, guys. Best of luck. Bye-bye.